This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up on Saturday, Governor Scott Walker and Republican legislative leaders announced they're removing a controversial open records overhaul from the state budget. We'll talk to a state capitol reporter about that news. First, does it pay to be nice to people? We often hear that term, nice guys finish last, which people use to explain some negative work and relationship behaviors. A few weeks ago, a Georgetown business professor wrote an op-ed for the New York Times lamenting the decline of civility at work. Nearly 20 years ago, only a quarter of the people she surveyed said they'd been treated rudely at work. But by a few years ago, the number of people reporting rude behavior at work had jumped to over half. Research from the Human Cooperation Laboratory at Yale University looked at the costs and benefits of being nice, and it reached the conclusion that being nice really does pay off. We want to hear from you about this. Do you agree that it pays to be nice, or do you think it's a waste of time? Do you go out of your way to be nice to friends, family members, coworkers? Why do you do it? Just because it's a good thing to do, or because you get something out of it too? Do you think people treat you differently when you're nice? Call and share your experiences at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. David Rand joins us now. He's a professor of psychology, economics, and management at Yale University, and he's the director of Yale's Human Cooperation Lab. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So a short version, it sounds like being nice is good for an individual, good for a business as a whole. How does a cooperation lab measure that kind of thing, though?
So there's two different ways we think about these questions. One is using sort of math and computer simulations and game theory kind of things. But then the other big part is we run lots of experiments. Some of them are lab experiments where we have people come into the lab and we give them money, and then they have the choice to either keep the money for themselves or pay the money to help other people. And we, you know, look at what strategies people use and what winds up working well for them. And then we also do field experiments with real organizations out in the world, to see how these things from the lab translate into the real world.
So how does being nice play out, say, in an office or a workplace environment? What, apart, again, from the intrinsic niceness of being nice, what do I get out of it?
So the key thing to remember is that when you have an interaction with someone, that's typically, particularly in the work context, that's not the only time you're going to interact with that person. And so your actions today have consequences in the future. So you might think, well, I could take advantage of this person right now and that would, you know, get me some short-term gain. But when you do that, you forget that there's going to be a long-term cost, because the next time that you're in a position where you need something from that person or they have the chance to take advantage of you, if you do today, that will lead them to take advantage of you tomorrow, whereas if you're helpful towards them, that can make them be inclined to help you in the future.
Now, your research takes it a step further, David. It's not just reciprocity. I'm nice to you now, you're nice to me next time. You say it pays off to be nice to someone even after they've stepped on you in one way or another two or even three times.
Right. So the idea is that this reciprocity is a key concept, but the issue is that in real life, a lot of the time there's a chance for mistakes where I mean to do the thing that is helpful to you, but through some force beyond my control, either I can't come through with what I was supposed to do, or I'm confused about what's actually going to be helpful for you, and so I wind up doing something that's actually not helpful to you. And so if you're playing a strategy that says, the minute someone screws me over once, I cut them off forever, that can be really costly for you, because you can have these really valuable relationships that wind up getting destroyed because somebody makes a mistake, and then the minute they make a mistake, you cut them off. That can really be costly.
Now, and a counter argument I imagine a lot of people are thinking now is, aren't there a lot of rich and famous successful people who are jerks? I mean, Steve Jobs of Apple is known, I think, even among people who like him, as a difficult person to work with. He did well. His company, obviously, Apple, did very well. We can all probably think of famous movie stars, music stars who have done quite well while stepping on the people underneath them. So what about them?
Yeah, so, you know, these are sort of general principles rather than absolute rules that hold in all cases. But it's typically the case that when you have these kind of repeated interactions, that it's always the case that there are going to be future consequences. It could be if you are, like, really amazingly brilliant, then you can get away with being a jerk because people will want to work with you anyways. But like for the rest of us, you know, a big part of who you want to work with, who you want to sort of help, be willing to help, is have they helped you before in the past? And another thing that's really important is that the fact that future consequences exist can make cooperating pay off. So if the other people in your office are all using a strategy that says, I will be helpful to you so long as you're helpful to me, then that makes the office as a whole better off, it makes everyone individually better off, and it makes it so it's in your self-interest to be cooperative today so that you reap the benefits of reciprocal cooperation in the future. But it's also true that if you're in an office where the social norm is, no matter what you do, I'm going to try and take advantage of you, then even though the interaction is repeated, there's no incentive to be cooperative because the other people are going to exploit you. But it's possible that you are in an environment where if everybody else is being non-cooperative, then it doesn't make sense for you to be cooperative. But if you're in an environment where other people are willing to cooperate as long as you do, then it becomes better for everyone to cooperate. And so if you are like a manager of a business or an organization, a big part of the challenge is to try and establish a norm and a culture whereby people cooperate and you know, you get this kind of reciprocal cooperation going.
Talking to David Rand with Yale's Human Cooperation Lab about the benefits of being nice. He says in many cases, based on his research, we really do get ahead by getting along. We're kind to others. They're kind to us. It helps all of us and maybe the organization we're part of as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And we've got Kat on the line in Green Bay. Kat, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Actually, I have three folds on the issue that you're discussing because I've been on both sides. When I used to bartend, being nice actually gave me more tips. So everybody else wanted to work with me because people were willing to wait an extra 15 minutes and still tip me quite well because I was nice and pleasant. Now, on the other side of the coin, if somebody is nice and pleasant, say I'm taking my car into a shop, and they actually treat me like a person, and they're nice and pleasant, they may be $100 more expensive for changing my muffler or whatever, but I'll keep going back to them. They will automatically have my business. Now, in return, what I've also noticed, and things that we don't seem to keep in the city I'm in right now, I don't seem to notice a lot of people doing the same, is that somebody's having a bad day, the cashier at Target or the grocery store is having a bad day, and I actually look into their eyes and tell them have a pleasant day and tell them how much I appreciate that they're doing this, that they're, yes, it's their job. They actually smile, and then they ask the next customer as I'm leaving, how are you? And it seems to cause quite a chain reaction.
Wow.
When you're being polite. At least it is with me.
Kat, thank you so much. Well, Dave, she brings up a lot there. She has experienced economic benefit from being nice, she says. I suspect she'd do it even without that benefit. She rewards others with economic benefit. She'll patronize a business that's nicer, even if it's a bit more expensive. We'll stop there. I mean, is that the kind of thing you see in your real-world research and in your experiments?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the kind of thing that we're thinking about, is those kinds of, like, if you are nice, people are more inclined to reward you, and similarly, you're more inclined to reward people that are nice. And so for both of those reasons, it's both of those reasons together create a system in which it becomes in everyone's self-interest to be nice. And I just want to point out one other thing, which is that it's true that it is typically pays, but as you said, a lot of people, and I think most people, often are nice just because it feels good, not because they're doing some kind of calculation of, oh, look, this is going to be in my, you know, self-interest. But the we've done a lot of work arguing that a lot of why it feels good is because we learn to feel good doing cooperative things because cooperative things are typically rewarded. And so you wind up internalizing that good feeling of like, oh, it's nice, it feels nice to help other people because that's actually a good strategy.
Before I take another caller, Kat also mentioned, in effect, a contagion effect of being nice. She's nice to someone, then she sees them being nice to someone else. Is that something you've seen or tried to figure out in your research?
Definitely. So this is called a like pay it forward kind of effect or contagion, social contagion. We've definitely done a bunch of work on social contagion, and it's something that is a widely documented phenomena. And there's at least a couple of different things going on there. One of them is that if you're used to living in a world where there's a lot of this reciprocity going on, then you come up with a general rule of thumb, which is if people are nice to me, I should be nice. And so even though it's not sort of actually in your interest to be nice to the next person rather than the person who is nice to you because you're not actually reciprocating, it's just kind of this reciprocal circuit gets triggered. And then the other thing is, like I was saying before, where there are these social norms that if you're in an environment where other people are cooperative, then it's good for you to be cooperative, whereas if you're in an environment where other people are selfish, then it's good for you to be selfish. And so when someone is nice to you, that gives you a signal that this is an environment where it's actually good to be cooperative.
Back to our callers with Rod in Madison. Rod, hi.
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. You know, maybe it's generational for me, but I just think that the nice portion of it is very hard for me to grasp because, you know, I would emphasize more that people should be respectful, and but they should be fair. I mean, when you're in a work environment, you got to get things done. I feel like nice people focus on, you know, doing what somebody asked them to do, but fair and respectful people force you to go where you might not want to go, but you have to go there in order to get the job done. And I think of my kids who are in their early 20s, nice is almost equated to how you make them feel as opposed to pushing the responsibilities that they're obligated to fulfill. So maybe it's the way I'm interpreting nice, but I look more at the what we have to get done. And I might not be extremely nice about it, but I'll try to be fair and professional and respectful, but I'm not grasping the emphasis of how nice I am about it.
Rod, thanks a lot for the call. So we've focused on the word nice, Dave, and maybe we need to define it, but maybe this is a case of the distinction Rod's making between if I'm bending over backwards to do all the stuff that you should be doing, that's a little too nice. It's not helping anybody as long as I'm being polite, respectful, and holding everybody to a high standard. That still meets our positive definition of a good workplace interaction, right?
Yeah, for sure. So this is a really good point that the word nice is misleading here. In sort of technical terms, what we mean when we talk about cooperation is doing something that is costly for you but beneficial for one or more other people, where the costs aren't necessarily dollars and cents but time or effort or whatever. So and typically it's you incur a cost to provide a benefit to someone else that's bigger than the cost that you are providing. So, for example, if someone's under a really tight deadline and they need your help to finish a project, you put in some time, and that's costly to you because you could have been doing something else at that time. But because they're on a deadline, it's extremely valuable for them to get the help, and so that sort of like increases the size of the pie for everyone. Or to go with a baking analogy, when you think about asking your neighbor to lend you some sugar, because you're out of sugar and you're trying to bake something, that sugar is more valuable to you than it is to your neighbor. And so when they give you that sugar, it sort of makes everyone overall better off. And so there's lots of examples of things that wouldn't count as nice in a traditional sense and are examples of the kind of thing that the caller was saying that would very much fit this definition, where someone is doing something that is costly for themselves but is making the other person even better off.
We're talking to David Rand about his research in the Human Cooperation Lab at Yale, showing that it pays to cooperate, be kind, get along with our coworkers and other people in our lives. We're taking your calls to, in your experience, does it pay to be nice, to get along, to work with our coworkers, help out when we can? Do people treat you better when you are nice, when you're helpful to them? Or do you need to be a jerk every now and then to get ahead in life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the discussion, maybe hear from you, after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation with David Rand. He's with the Human Cooperation Lab at Yale University. He's explaining his research on the behavioral economics of kindness, which shows that being nice, that cooperating, can pay off. What do you think about this? Is being nice just a waste of your time? Do you feel taken advantage of when you're helpful at your workplace? Or do you focus on being helpful, maybe helping somebody finish that project at the last minute? Do you feel like you're treated differently, better? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. So, Dave, if somebody wants to change their workplace or other organization, and right now it's a shark tank, everybody's in it for themselves, they're not cooperating, there's no benefit for an individual in being nice, how could someone, maybe a boss, a new boss, change that environment?
It's a really good question, and that's one of the things that we're most interested in and sort of actively studying right now, is sort of the question of how do you change the culture of an organization. And at least one thing that you can do is that you, if you're the boss, you can, or the sort of, you know, the leader of the organization, you can set up certain rules, institutional rules, that reward people for being cooperative. And typically, I would think not reward them in terms of paying them, but giving people recognition, saying, hey, this person went out of the way to do this really nice thing for this other person, and that's great for the organization, and we really sort of respect and admire this, and like, good for that person. These kind of things where you recognize people for doing cooperative actions both makes that person feel good and makes them more inclined to do it, and also communicates to everyone else in the organization that this is a place where people do cooperative things, where people are willing to help each other, and that's something that's valued.
Is this a trend in the country, in the business world, say, that companies are recognizing that they need to build this culture of cooperation?
I think so. I think that there was, in say the 80s, there was this this idea of naked self-interest as, you know, on markets and stuff like that as the core to human behavior, basically, and everyone's only out for themselves, and that means, you know, stomp on top of the other guy and climb to the top of the mountain. And I think that there has been a realization that started in the social sciences and I think is now is permeating out into the greater culture that when you are in this world of repeated interactions and future consequences, it actually turns out that being cooperative and helpful is the thing that winds up maximizing your payoff. And we actually find in some of our experiments that the most selfish people often wind up being the most cooperative when the rules are set up in the right way, such that cooperating really is what earns you money.
Talking to David Rand from Yale University about some of the social science and economics between cooperation and kindness. Back to your calls now. We've got Tom on the line in Waupaca. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm a criminal defense attorney, and so often people think it would be helpful if I was a jerk to the prosecutor or to the complaining witness, but I found out over 25 years of practice that it works out much better if I'm nice to the prosecutor, nice to the witnesses, nice to the jury, and nice to opposing counsel, just because, as your program has been saying, you know, when if you're going to work at a place for 20 years, there comes payback time, and
right.
You need to build some credibility and some goodwill with the people that you're going to work with over the decades.
And Tom, I got to ask, what about jurors? I mean, do you think that they look more favorably on the case you're making if you present yourself as a nice fella?
Well, absolutely. And I have to say, just 2 weeks ago, I lost a jury trial. I think it was because I was being sort of insulting to the prosecutor. And I think he was so gracious to me. And I think the jury liked the way he treated me better than the way I treated him. So I'm still learning that lesson.
Tom, thank you so much. Well, Dave, if I ever thought of a profession where you want somebody to be an angry pit bull, this is it, the criminal defense attorney. But no, Tom says.
Yeah, totally. That makes complete sense to me.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Tom. So, I mean, in a profession like that, again, how maybe there are other attorneys out there listening or other places where people think, I need to be mean, I need to be a jerk to do my job right. What would it take for them to rethink that and get it more into this cooperative get-along mindset?
Well, I mean, that's a major motivation for my research and also for why I like doing things like, you know, talking on radio shows like this, is that I feel like there is this real misunderstanding amongst a lot of people about thinking of, oh, that's helping other people and being cooperative is just being weak. But I think that when you think about it and when you reflect on these kind of things, you realize, oh, wait, when we have future consequences, when we have long-term relationships, it really, what I do is going to come back around to affect me. And so I think the more this kind of knowledge gets spread, the more people will be inclined to realize, oh, actually, I should be cooperating, and we should all be cooperating with each other, and it'll make us all better off.
Back to our callers. Beth is with us in Duluth. Beth, hi.
Hi there.
Oh, what do you think, Beth?
I think it's definitely, this is the right track to go, the kindness track. I was raised to be kind to people without any expectation, any return, any payout, but boy, has it paid off in my job. I take even the grumpies and I just try to make them look as good as possible and help them out whenever I can. And it really comes back to me. When I need help, then people are willing to drop everything and help me because I've helped them. And then it's also put me in a good standing with my bosses because if they want something like right now, I'm able to get on my hands on it right now because other people are willing to drop everything and help me out. So I think it's whether you experience that or not, you can go home at the end of the day feeling good because you treated people respectfully.
Beth, thanks so much for the call. Another case study there, Dave. As we wrap up, I'm going to ask you a huge question with not much time. Are we inherently built, do you think, to be cooperative in this way?
I've done a lot of work showing that that most people have a strong intuitive response to be cooperative, but I don't think it's about evolution and that kind of being built. I think it's about learning, and I think it's that we learn over the course of our lifespans that, like, you know, as kids, we're always sort of rewarded for being nice and punished for not being nice. And you sort of pretty quickly learn that the way to be successful is to be cooperative if you're in a culture and a world where that's what is being rewarded.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for being with us. Very interesting.
Thank you for the invitation. It was very nice to talk to you.
That was David Rand. He's a professor of psychology, economics, and management at Yale University. He's also the director of Yale's Human Cooperation Lab, with us to talk about his research showing that it pays to be nice. You can keep sharing your stories, by the way, and see a link to some related research over at the Central Time Facebook page. Well, maybe I'll start being nice to, you know, Veronica and the producers here and Michelle at the board. I know, it's a tall order. Nobody believes it's going to happen.